In liturgical churches, this is the third Sunday after Epiphany. And Epiphany is, it remembers the time when the Magi, the wise men, came to visit the infant Jesus. And Epiphany is the time when God introduces to Gentiles his son. The Gentiles being in the form of those wise men, maybe three, traditionally three, but we're not sure. And so this is the third Sunday after Epiphany, and in liturgical churches there are lectionary readings, and I'm going to read one of those to you. And you, if you've got your Bibles there, you might like to turn to Psalm 27. This is normally there's about four readings. Another one is Isaiah 9 and Matthew 4. But we're just going to have a little look at Psalm 27. Notice that it is a psalm written by David. Not all of the psalms are written by David, but this one is. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I'm going to read verses 1 and then 4 through 9, and then we're just going to spend a little bit of time reflecting on what David is actually saying, which is profoundly interesting and profoundly encouraging for us who come to God through Jesus Christ. So Psalm 27, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He'll hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Just to enter into this passage today, I wonder what you anticipate when you come along to what we call church. We usually think of the building, don't we? But the building is not a church. But back in David's time, the temple was the place where God's glory was revealed, his presence was revealed. So it was very much the focus of worship, of the presence of the Lord. But as we come along to what we call church, what's your anticipation? What is your hope? What is your desire? To have some rousing songs, to greet one another, to go through the service and being able to tick that off your bucket list or your things to do for the week, the beginning of the week, or being to church. What do we anticipate? I'd like you just to spend a moment. I'm going to not speak for a few moments. That'll be a relief to you. But just for a few moments, just to examine, what do you really anticipate? What do you look forward to when we come along to what we call church? I'm not going to question you. As we read through that psalm, you get a sense from David that he is experiencing, when he goes to the temple, he's experiencing the real presence of God. That there's something very intimate and real that David is experiencing of the presence of his God. He doesn't go on to describe that, does he? It is more than just being the temple that he went to was quite a significant structure. So he wasn't impressed by the architecture or by the contents of the building, the Ark of the Covenant, etc. There's something deeper. He talks about looking for the face of the Lord. It's deeply personal, deeply intimate, deeply real. Is that our experience? We've just been through Christmas. We're thinking about the incarnation, that God, in the person of his sons, comes and walks amongst us. What must have been like for his disciples, for those people, for the people that he healed, the people that listened to his messages? What it must have been like to actually have met Jesus and shaken him by the hand.
How you going?
Maybe he said that to me. How are you going? Well, if he was incarnated into Australia, I'm sure he would have in our day and age. G'day, mate. How are you going? But it would have been an intimate, direct relationship, such as we experience with one another. Yet Jesus has returned to his glory after suffering for us. Yet Jesus says it was an advantage for him to go, because then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come to be with us. And that somehow that would be better than his physical presence. And yet we as Christians would think, no, it wouldn't have been great to be back in the first century and actually meet Jesus and listen to him, to see him healing people, to experience that eye-to-eye contact with Jesus. Well, it would have been extra special. But we don't miss out. And I think this is the profound thing. When we come to faith in Jesus, and I trust you all have, we do receive his Spirit, who comes to dwell in our body, in this physical body, this temple of his. His chosen abiding place, not to come and go, but to stay. He's come to make his home within us. Now that is wonderfully profound to think about. Right now, at this moment, Lynn, because your faith in Jesus, he has placed your spirit and his spirit in you, and his spirit is there to stay. That's extraordinary. The Spirit of the living God come to dwell within this frail, impermanent body. This is the delight. And the reality is that God delights in us. God delights to be with us. And he wants to experience the delight of us, to experience the delight of his presence within us. So I've been talking a little bit about expectations for 2023, a new year. What can we expect? We can expect that God wants us to experience Him present with us, to have real experiences of Him being with us. To know His love. Not just know about God, which is sort of like theology, reading your Bible and all that sort of stuff, but actually to know Him in a relational way. Exactly right. We can know lots of things. We can know lots of details, lots of information, and if you're into theology, that is just the knowledge of God. You know, you can read your Bible and read lots of theology and think about it, and there's a big store of things which tends to puff up our pride sometimes. But when it moves to our heart and we actually experience the presence of God, His love for us, that unspoken and yet clearly heard word, I love you. I delight in you. I am here. It's humbling and it's joyful. It is walking with God. It's called union with God, union with the divine. Why did God send Jesus? What is the whole purpose of salvation? What is the God's end point? Now, this time it's not a rhetorical question. Give me some thoughts. What is God's end point in sending Jesus to save us?
For our relationship with Him to be restored.
Yeah, to be restored. Can
and
we go?
Our relationship with God to be restored, because without Jesus, that relationship would be broken.
So, relationship with God, and real and total relationship with God, is God's, it's what He desires. Stop and think about that. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was to restore something, and it's what God desires most, is relationship with us. God desires relationship with us so much that the cross, a price will be paid. God wants us to experience Him because He already experiences us and delights in us and loves us. Now, if God desires it, if it's central to God, and we desire it, or begin to desire it more, what's the expectation that we can have in 2023? The expectation, can I suggest to you, is that as we desire it, God is more than willing to be there with us, to reveal Himself with us, to reveal His presence, for us to have real experiences of the presence of the divine in us and with us. And I'm guessing that a few of us have had those experiences. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a famous Reformed preacher, had an experience where he said his heart was strangely warm. Not dissimilar to a John Wesley's experience, where he had all sorts of knowledge and trying to do good works, and then he experienced the presence of Christ and it transformed him. These experiences don't puff out our pride, they humble us and they fill us with wonder and joy and love. Because we know as we know as we know that God is with us and God is for us.
Amen.
Going back to my last sermon, God is for us, God is with us. This is all tremendously wonderful. Sometimes people who are increasingly experiencing the presence of God are called mystics. And this is the way Richard Rohr uses the name or the title mystic. One who moves beyond just belief systems or belonging systems to actual inner experience of God, which is transformative. He says, almost all people, before they have experienced God's unmerited love, think that their morality will somehow earn them divine union. But mystics know otherwise. Their morality is a response to divine union. But most of us think backward. If I don't lie, God will like me. No, he says, if you don't lie, you'll like yourself more. God likes you already. That problem is solved once and for all and forever. By Jesus. That problem is solved once and for all and forever. God loves you, not just likes you. He loves you and he delights in you. Issue solved. That's what every mystic knows and enjoys at ever fuller levels. That you're loved unconditionally in this life, not just in some future conditional heaven. And that is why mystics, and maybe there are some mystics in our midst today, are foundationally happy people, joyful people. It doesn't really matter what's going on in life, how good or bad the Sunday service was, because they are experiencing the presence of their God. Amen. And it fills their heart with joy and love and peace and wonder. So expectations for 2023. Today's expectation for you and for I is as we turn our eyes towards God and just simply seek his face, like David, that we can expect that God is more than willing. He is raring to go in revealing himself to us, his love, his presence, his comfort, his reassurance, the delight of who he is. So that our Christian walk isn't just a set of rules or about knowing this sum of theological knowledge, but it's moved past that to actually experiencing the living God and to know him in reality, living within us by his Spirit, and just filled with delight and wonder and love and joy and peace. Can I encourage you to set that as an expectation for 2023? It's not what you will achieve. It's not about achieving. It's about trusting the goodness of God and living. Sometimes it's about learning to be quiet. Sometimes it's about slowing down and being able to be present for the God who is already present for us. May you be blessed in this 2023, because the Lord is surely present. I'm going to end my message with this. A number of churches, including the last church that we've been attending, the Uniting Church in St Albans, the minister there would, and this is a fairly common thing, God is good at all the time. All the time. I'm going to add a few things to this. God loves me all the time. All the time, God loves me. So, God loves me all the time. God is with me all the time. All the time, God is with me. So, God is with me
all the time.
I can enjoy God all the time. I can
enjoy
all the time, God. And you can add to these, can't you? You can keep adding to these, because they're all true. They're all true. So what I encourage you to do is perhaps when you get home, just begin to write those things out and repeat them to yourself, and allow the reality, the truth of these things to enter not into this noggin, but into this heart. This is where the gospel needs to touch, not up there. Deep in our heart. Blessings be upon you as you seek the Lord this year, because he certainly will be found of you. He certainly will be found of you. Thank you.